The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
Hello, welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt and I are back together. Brian Kelleher calls in. We do a Matt movie minute, and then I give a movie, and then Matt gives another one. Action-packed.
And Jimmy's off his diet.
Kind of.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Welcome. The team is back together.
Yes.
I was away the last couple. And I called in. I had some comments about Conor and Khabib. People get so... Hey, shitheads.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Oh, they're talking to me.
No, and by shitheads, I mean...
They're talking to me and Chris. I'm like, yes?
People,
Jimmy?
People who line up. So much on one side. Guys like, you're a fucking idiot. Oh, Khabib, shut up.
I know.
I hate when they ask you your opinion and you tell them, they're like, yeah, we'll see. Who do you think is going to win? All happy? Khabib. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see, asshole. Now, what are we now, enemies? Why the fuck are you even asking me? I don't even want to talk to you.
But honor, look, the guy was talking about, honor is, I'm sorry, it's not an excuse. To jump over the fucking cage.
Are we getting back into this?
Yes, for a second.
Yeah, then I'm not saying
I don't get it, but it's not an excuse for jumping over the cage. Because honor people use to justify a lot of stuff that you're not supposed to do in life.
Right. But some people do that just to promote shit. So, I mean, I 100%, think it's better.
100%.
I mean, Conor did that with Jose Aldo, and they use that all the time.
Dude, 100%. Whatever Conor, I'm not excusing what Conor did. The whole bus thing, everybody killed him for that, and they should have.
Yeah. Right, that's the other thing, where people go like, oh, well, what, Conor did it? Yeah, what Conor did wasn't right either.
Nobody thought that was good. Two wrongs, you know.
I bashed Conor for it, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they talk, it is a weird, weird situation that's going on now. A lot of drama. But I hate drama, but it, you know.
We all love it.
It is fun to talk about on UFC Unfiltered. Now they're like making a thing where, I mean, listen, that bus thing's the worst thing that ever happened.
Yes,
but
terrible.
Somebody could have got literally killed. But, you know, I don't like that. I mean, and I'm, you know, listen, in this whole thing, I was always more for Khabib, obviously. It is what it is. But, you know, I'm not for somebody getting hit in the back of the fucking head. I mean, blindsided. I don't. Now, how's that honorable?
Conor did punch the other guy first,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, but he punched him when the guy's coming straight at him.
No, wasn't the guy jumped up on the cage? It looked like the guy. One guy jumped up and was looking over the fence the way Khabib jumped, and Conor hit him. It looked like Conor hit him. Yeah, there's a video of Conor punching him first.
I think Khabib did say that.
The other guy might have hit Conor first.
To me, that kind of is more excusable, though, because once that guy gets on that cage, anything could happen at that point. You know what I mean? Like, Conor has a right to defend himself. He's trapped in the cage.
I think the guy was going up and over the way Khabib was
going.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. He hit that guy, and that's what set off the whole thing. But still, hitting the guy from behind, I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
You know, that's not good. I just think, but hey, man, I mean, hopefully they just get past all this shit.
Yeah.
But I do know that Khabib's a fucking beast.
He is awesome. They both got the mandatory 10-day suspension or whatever.
And they're talking, Jimmy, they're talking about possibly a rematch. And I don't know, personally, I don't like that at all. Here we go. Look, Khabib.
No, I think Tony Ferguson. I mean, it makes sense, obviously. For the size of that fight, if they rematch, but I think Tony Ferguson earned that
100%.
Well, we're watching the scramble right now.
I would rather see Ferguson Khabib.
100%.
Yeah, it's different.
And I'd like to see. Oh, there's somebody's Connor's over there, and let me see. this guy is.
No, it's our, it would have already happened.
Yeah,
it would have
already
happened.
Yeah. Now the guy just hit him behind. Now the guy, like you just saw that. You see that guy just punching from behind?
Yeah.
Go back to that part one more time. The guy hit him from behind. I don't care what teammate. He hit him from behind. Connor's sitting there facing that.
Well, that's the problem now because
guy
Khabib
jumps
saying,
the fence.
Yeah, it's not good.
And he hits him. Right. Is that the guy he hit going over or no?
No, that was a different. That was a third guy. Like,
okay. Now, the one who just hit him, is that the one that was supposed to fight Artem?
Yeah, so that's Zabira. I believe it's pronounced Zabira Tukagov. And that's one of like Khabib's guys. And Khabib is saying he like kind of threatened that he'll leave if they fire this guy.
The guy jumped the cage
know,
and hit Connor, who just lost.
But
the other guy Connor
listen,
hit first.
Listen, not I'm just and I don't agree with that at all. Yeah. But this is the problem. You know, Artem was there when they attacked that.
That's
when
they
attacked the bus. He was there for that.
Wasn't he also threatened to be thrown? They cut his fight that night, but they didn't throw him out.
They didn't. So
he was supposed to fight Bruce Leroy, I think, which would have been a really fun fight.
But the fact that he's not cut is I think Khabib's point. It's like, hey, listen, this guy's still on the card. He's still on the roster.
Roster.
Let's call the whole thing. All right, but I think that is the major problem. It's like, all right, look, you put out a message like, hey man, listen, oh, if he got away with that, then we could at least do this, and it's setting the sport in a rough way here, because they always point to that and say, oh, but look what he did. Not that it makes it right.
I'm not saying Lobov did was right. He was in on that, and whatever punishment they gave him would have been fine with me. But I do see a difference between that and somebody jumping into the octagon and punching a guy who just lost a fight in the back of the head.
Listen, that was totally wrong. And then I think he was bragging about it, too. So that's not great. I mean, I wonder what's going to happen. I guess we're going to have to see.
My more annoyance was how people line up and get so crazy about it. It's like, you know, they get so angry if your opinion doesn't sync with theirs.
That's like anything. Right. That's like that with most things, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but they realize that there's two sides to it, and you're going to feel one way or the other. People who defended Connor, there weren't many, but for the bus, I didn't hate them, just that they were wrong.
Right. Well, and also at a certain point, like, this type of stuff is more about the sport as a whole. You know what I mean? It's not just I'm on Team Khabib or Team Connor or whatever. That's what the fight's for. This stuff is like, you know, it can make a sport that we all love look bad to people that don't know what is going on.
Yeah, or if a fucking riot breaks out.
Yeah, of course.
If a riot breaks out, then the UFC and Dana look terrible. It was just awful.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully we can just move forward and get to some positive shit.
I'm going to call Brian Kelleher.
I do that. Okay, by the way, one of our Sri Lanka up-and-comers had his pro debut over the weekend in Long Island, and he won. Dennis Bazooka, I want to give him a shout-out. He did good, this kid. This
kid's great.
21-year-old kid. He laid this dude out, and he did great. And Ally Aquint is taking this kid under his wing. He kind of bonded with this kid, and that's a good guy. And that's a good, people are going to say, is that a good role model? If you're going to be a cage fighter, yes. Because fucking Raging Al is
a fine role model.
If you're going to be getting ready to fight in a cage, yes. Hang out with Raging Al and get some of that. Let that warrior spirit just seep into you.
And by the way, Raging Al does have a fight lined up now.
You think so?
Officially, yeah.
Kevin Lee. I was there for the first one.
That's right, a rematch.
It was a good fight back then. I think that's going to be a great fight. I like me some Raging Al.
I do too. I like both of these guys.
We were at a fundraiser the other day for my buddy Frank Spano. His 11-month-year-old son has Frankie has leukemia. It's fucking brutal. So we all went to this fundraiser, and Al won a raffle, a thing with all like these like charms and things, and that he gave to my kids and stuff. He's a nice guy, man. He's such a good dude. What's up?
Do we have Brian on the phone?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Brian, how are you? We have to talk to you through this this thing that's kind of rigged up because Time Warner's phone, they stink. So how are you, man?
I'm good. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yeah. Chris kind of figured out a way to hook it up through his iPhone, so we are able to do the call. Where are you now?
I'm actually driving right now, but I got you guys on speaker, so we're good to go.
Oh, okay. Where are you driving? To the gym or from?
No, I left the gym earlier. I'm driving towards the mall now over here.
Oh, okay. By the way, I was watching some of your rap. It's really good, man. I literally thought that you were doing that thing people do where they listen to rap and they mouth it, but that was actually you.
What the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's
Jimmy.
Me.
What, Jimmy, I'm asking Jimmy what he's talking about. He's just pointing to you. What is he talking about?
How does Tyrone Woodley get a record deal? You know what I mean? I got to get myself in.
Wait,
there.
What?
Brian raps on his Twitter.
Bro, you rap?
I rap.
I'm trying to get the.
I like to write on my downtime, right. So I write a lot of stuff, and then I just rap for fun. But people been telling me to take it into the studio, so
dude,
I feel like I should take it serious.
Taking it to the UFC Unfiltered studio.
Yeah, man.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of people listening right now. Now, I'm not just saying because I'm clearing my throat. I'm just getting the right kind of beat going.
Yeah, I got.
If I could do a beatbox, I'd get you going, but I can't. Is there anything you can break into? If we play the music to I'll Beat Your Ass, you could sing that. Could you just get the musical version of that?
I don't know if he's going to be able to hear it, actually, because of the way we're set up. So.
Oh, fucking. Dude, let's see if he hears this for you. Do you hear that?
When I come into studio with you guys in the city, I'll have something prepared. I'll spit something on the mic live.
How long have you been writing rap lyrics and rap songs?
I've been writing for a while. I would say since I was probably like 18, 19, just for fun. My dad plays guitar and he sings, so I've been around music my whole life. And I used to make music like in the basement. He had a little recording studio down there, but it wasn't produced official, you know?
Now, Brian, now what Jimmy heard, we could listen to that?
Where's
that?
It's on Twitter.
And what is it?
It was just Brian into kind of like his cell phone camera or whatever, or just kind of, it was like 30 or 40 seconds. It wasn't that long.
Chris the producer's getting it. He's getting it. I'm so excited. I never heard this.
So these
I do it on my Instagram stories, and I also do it, like, I'll throw it up on Twitter too.
Dude.
So have you recorded any songs?
I've recorded full songs like back in the day. Nothing as of recent, because I'm looking to try to get with like a legit producer that can make it sound more quality, you know?
You know, I'll tell you, I heard Platinum Mike Perry do something to the Tyrone Woodley song, and I was very impressed with that.
Yeah,
guy.
No, he
did it great. Yeah, man.
I saw that. Yeah,
that was
like
good.
Freestyling on his story. That was pretty good.
He was freestyling that shit. Now, you can't freestyle. You're not like B Rabbit.
I could do it, but it's hard to do on the spot. You know, like, you got to really be sharp when you're freestyling.
Well, that's the whole thing with the freestyle. Listen, I can't say nothing. I can't do shit.
Well, did you ever see that video of Drake freestyling, but he didn't know there was a camera on him? He was reading it off paper.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think
no,
it was on,
I never saw that.
I think it was on Sway's radio show on Sirius. I believe it was. It looked like he was reading off paper, yeah.
That's fucking great, man.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of these guys freestyle. They actually wrote that stuff and remembered it, and then they just freestyle it when they get a chance, you know?
So who freestyles? Okay, does Eminem freestyle for real, or do you think it's pre-written?
I think most of it's pre-written, to be honest. I think you can tell when someone's freestyling, like, it's not as perfect, you know?
Hey, listen, I have a question. Everybody wants to know about this one versus that one in MMA. I want to ask you, MGK, Machine Gun Kelly, or Eminem? Go!
Yeah, I think Eminem. I think
not
Eminem
in a fight. Not in a fight. I'm talking about rapping.
No, I think Eminem for sure. I think both were really good. I think MGK had some good lines.
I like Rap Devil.
Eminem's just like a lyrical genius.
He is.
Yeah.
I like both. I like Rap Devil and I like Killshot. I like them both, Jimmy. I listened to both of them on the way here. Do you believe that?
I do believe that.
Yes. I listened to that because I'm like, oh, man. That's, and then I listened to Queen live Under Pressure. Has nothing to do with the story. I just want to let you know.
It was just
that
the third thing.
Well, it's the third thing I listened to.
I didn't know you were into rap so much, Matt.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Brian, I'll beat your ass. I'll beat your ass. That's all I got though, Brian. All I can say is that one hook and I got nothing. So I'm not a good rapper, but I used to listen before you were born. There was a show called Yo MTV Raps.
Fab Five Freddy.
Yes. And then it was Dr. Dre, the other Dr. Dre, and Ed Lover.
That's right.
Yes, it was, man. So I am what you call an OG in the rap game. Not really. To listening. I used to like to listen to it. And I still do. I listen to what the kids listen to.
Have you ever done it in front of an audience?
Who, me?
Brian. Have you ever rapped in front of an audience?
No, I've never performed or anything like that. I feel like that's the hard part. That's what makes like a legit artist. You know?
I thought you were going to say a legit MC. Sorry.
No, but like, if you're going to really do shows and make money, that's how you do it. You got to get in front of a crowd and get a fan base.
man. Listen, I mean, it's hard enough to fight in a cage, Brian. I don't know if you should be. Yeah. Hey, but listen, it's good to have a side job. You never know.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's after fighting. You know what I mean? That's the scary part.
How old are you now, Brian?
I'm 32.
All right, listen, I know another guy under fucking 5'7 from Long Island that had a great year at 32. Fucking hey, me. Yeah, I got the time.
I need some of that good juju right now.
Listen, man, you took out Henning Burrell, which is the former champion, and then you had, you know, a little bit of a tough time with Lineker. What round was that?
Third round.
So you were in the fight, man.
I had a fucking minute and a half or so, you know. I really wish I would have made it out of there.
Yeah, it was a fun one though. Not for nothing. I hate, you know, it's not like it was
It was a good experience. You know, it was a learning experience. But that guy hits harder than anybody I fought. You know, I've had a lot of fights. I never felt that before.
Hey, listen, man, that you could definitely take that with you. Now tell us about what's next, because we heard you're fighting on the Garden. We want to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm fighting at the Garden. Originally, I had an opponent from the Contender Series, Domingo Pilardi. He got hurt and pulled out. So now Montel Jackson, who's also from the Contender Series, filled in, and kind of similar opponent, you know, taller guy, southpaw, and, you know, primarily a striker, but he has some wrestling too. I'm excited to be back home fighting at home. It's a lot easier to deal with the weight cut like that and everything else. So,
now, where were you raised?
I was raised in Selden, New York, on Long Island.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. You're a Long Island guy. I didn't realize that.
Now, where are you training now, Bry?
I'm kind of bouncing around everywhere. You know, I'm like, there's 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu in Smithtown. I'm also at Long Island MMA. And I just went over to Longo's gym the other day and got a couple rounds in with Matt Frivola, and Marab was over there. So, you know,
very good work for you. Very good work.
Yeah. Yeah, Marab's an energy machine, dude, man. I love that guy.
I remember Aljo, after his last fight, he says, people want to know what I do for cardio, and he put like a picture of him and Marab. Like, Marab, dude, people... Yeah.
He just doesn't get tired.
When he spars, it's like how he fights. I mean, he just does not stop. He doesn't stop.
Oh, yeah. You don't need cardio if you're doing rounds of Marab.
Holy shit, man. It's something else to watch, man. I love it, you know? I have such a good time with that dude. So listen, yeah. I mean, you're used to fighting taller guys though, Brian. You're like me. I mean, you're not the tallest guy out there.
Yeah. I'm always the shorter guy. You know what I mean? So I'm used to it.
How happy are you to be fighting at the Garden?
I'm happy, you know, but I don't get crazy excited about like where it is, because it's just another fight to me, really. I mean, it just makes it easier. Like I said, just being able to stay home through the weight cut and not have to deal with the travel or the time differences or anything like that.
Yeah, but the problem with fighting at home, though, is you got so much family, and they all start bugging you for tickets, and they all want to be around you and talk to you the day of the fight. Do you find that's difficult? Like, you know, you just kind of want to be by yourself, and everybody's bugging you for something?
Well, the good thing is I don't have too many fans yet, so I'm pretty good with that.
That's not true, Brian.
No, I know. It's not too bad. I guess everyone around me kind of understands how it is. We don't get tickets really to sell. You know, we get 4 tickets for our family, and everyone else has to buy tickets, you know, the normal way, whatever, Ticketmaster or on UFC.com. So it's not too bad.
Oh, you get 4 tickets for your family?
Yeah, that's what they give us every fight. We just get 4 tickets pretty much to give to whoever we want.
And who are you giving your 4 tickets to in New York?
Oh, I got my girlfriend, I got my mom, I got my brother, my older brother Keith, and then I think his wife.
Now, is there anybody that's being left out?
There might be like one person left out. I'm not sure, because I still have to figure out my third corner. Usually my dad's in my corner, but if he's not, then someone's got to pay up.
Now, bro, what do you like to do when you're not, like, training? Tell us something about you in the off hours here. Just chilling at home, Netflix, or you're running fucking hills? What are you doing when you're not?
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of extra work. Like, if I have a lot of time in between my sessions, usually it's 2 sessions per day, I'll go for, like, a run or something like that just to break up the day, just to add a couple of extra things. But if not, I'm doing a lot of writing, or I'm listening to podcasts, whether it's like some Joey Diaz or Kill Tony or Brendan Schaub's podcast Below the Belt or Rogan. I'm just like, there's so much stuff to watch out there, you know, so I'm keeping up with that.
Jimmy, you notice he didn't mention UFC Unfiltered?
Well, he likes it.
Fuck.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
No, well, listen, I didn't know that was coming. I was I'm like, Jimmy, any second. I'm looking at Jimmy about to high five him. And then all of a sudden, all right. He mentioned Joey Diaz, Joe Rogan, Brendan. All right.
Well, he likes to kill Tony. He likes those guys from Rogan's crew. Do you like Bert Kreischer as well?
Yeah, I like Bert Kreischer. He's funny. I watch his Instagram stories a lot too. He's pretty funny.
He is good on those. It's hard to be consistently interesting on Instagram stories. There's a lot of pressure.
I like Joey Diaz when he fucking takes too many edibles and he totally passes out. I've seen stuff like that on YouTube. He'll do a show Joey Diaz, he'll start eating his edibles, and I saw an episode where he just passed out, and he just totally passed out. He's sleeping.
He's had people leave his podcast because they accidentally eat one of those stars of death.
Oh man, that's on my bucket list. My bucket list to do that Joey Diaz show.
I'm sure you
know. I know Joey. I hung out with him before. I'm gonna make that happen.
I feel like I want to do a show, but I'm kind of scared because I feel like he's gonna like slip me one of those stars of death.
Well, he doesn't gotta slip it to me. I'll fucking walk on my hands over to that fucking thing.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell that means.
Doesn't he play? I think he played Sabbath. I've done it once, and I think he played Sabbath. I did it last year. I think doesn't he play music? And you shouldn't play music on your podcast because. They could, they could go and yank it.
Yeah, he puts in like the old school records sometimes before he starts the podcast.
Maybe it's beforehand. Okay,
so
him and that guy Lee, funny dynamic, you know.
He seems like a nice guy too. That guy, he's a good like sidekick, you know. Yeah, it's Lee's so funny nowadays with the TV. Like, I don't even watch the major like Channel 2, 4, and 7, and like you don't watch the shit you watched growing up. Like, I don't even. On TV, I just watch movies and stuff. I hate fucking commercials. I just watch Netflix and YouTube. Jimmy, you? Brian, you?
Same shit, man. Netflix.
Yeah, YouTube's my thing. I never watch TV anymore. I literally turn my TV on just to like have it on in the background. I hit mute, and then I just go straight to YouTube, watch the podcast.
You know, who was it? Everlast from House of Pain and from the Whitey Ford. He was in here recently, and he told me about the Black Mirror show, and we talked about that before.
So
and he told me about season 4, the Star Trek episode, or yeah. Kind of. Do you know what I'm talking about, yep. Brian?
No.
Check out that Black Mirror. I only saw the first season, one episode, and I didn't like it.
Didn't grab you, yeah.
No, then I saw another one, and it was fucking phenomenal. The
Star Trek?
That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was an awesome one. And then I saw another one, like the video game one. I thought I'd really love it. It was so depressing. You see that one?
Yeah, I've seen the whole thing. Yeah, I mean,
it could have ended so good.
It's a series, like a TV show.
It's on Netflix.
It's like Twilight Zone. It's like the Twilight Zone, but it has a lot to do with technology. It's fucking cool, man.
Black Mirror, huh?
Yeah, it's a great show. There's no ghosts or demons. It's all set in the future, and it has something to do with technology. And it's all believable because you're like, yeah, I could see technology being there in 10 years or 30 years, whatever it is. It's all fairly believable speculation.
That's interesting. Yeah, I would definitely check something like that. There's just so much to watch that it's hard to get around to everything, you know?
It's true. And also, you're getting ready to fight in a cage. Brian, when you think about what's next, what do you think about what's next? Because I'll tell you, a lot of guys, it's nice that you're thinking about it, because a lot of guys don't think about it until it's too late. You know, they're like, oh, this is the time of my life. I'm fighting, I'm traveling, and I'm fighting, and I'm traveling. It's over. What the fuck am I doing now? You know what I mean? So
it's hard, man, because you're like you said, you're trying to live in the moment as best as you can. But it's scary thinking about what's next for me, because I truly don't know much of anything else but fighting, you know? So I'm trying
to
figure out, like, what the hell could I do? Because for me, I got into fighting because I was afraid to have a boss and have a job and be stuck. I wanted to be free. I wanted to do something I loved and that I was really, truly passionate about. And this is the only fucking thing.
What about training? What about training and training some people and a school, that type of thing? Or no, you don't think that's for you?
You know, I see a future in that. I do take, you know, I'm passionate about showing other people my skills and things that I know. And I do like to get creative with, you know, pad work and stuff like that. But it's tough, you know. I mean, I guess I could see me opening a gym, and I would like it to be a little different than everyone else's gym, you know.
How's that now?
Yeah, how would you do that differently?
because I'm going to write down these ideas and put them at 7BJJ. Yeah. Go ahead. Shoot. What do you think?
Yeah. So you need some. You need a cryotherapy tank. You need a massage therapist. Need maybe an infrared sauna in there. What else do we got?
Hey, and now the cryotherapy, I've done that because, Joe recommended. I said, let me try it. I couldn't tell if it did anything or not. Has it helped you?
Yeah, it's one of those things, like, I feel it instantly right after I leave there. I feel like the inflammation kind of drains out. But then I go train again that night, and then it's right back, pretty much, you know?
So it's a temporary fix?
Yeah, it's pretty temporary. I feel like it's not, it's just good to do frequently, I guess, throughout training camp to try to drain the inflammation as you go through it.
Oh, okay. Now, Montel is only, Jackson has one fight in the UFC, and he's got 7 overall. Is it a kind of a challenge for you to get up for a fight against a guy who's unranked? Because you fought some highly ranked guys before, like Lineker and Alcantara.
A little bit, yeah. It's kind of weird going from Barao, Lineker, and then to like someone who nobody really knows about. But honestly, the goal is just to get a win and get a new deal. This is the third fight on my contract, so I got to get a win and make a good impression and renegotiate for the next deal. So that's really what's important here.
That's a lot of pressure. You don't want to be fighting a guy on the last fight of his contract. You never want to have to deal with a guy who's on the last fight of his contract because that guy wants to make a good impression.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? For him, it goes the other way. Like, he lost his debut, so he's got his back against the fence, too, I feel like.
Yeah, guy coming off his first fight loss. Yeah, you know he doesn't want to go 0-2.
Yeah, so he's trying to redeem that loss, and I'm trying to get the new deal, so.
Well, I recommend.
Yeah.
I know you train hard, and you've been the underdog. I'm not sure what it is with this one, but you've been the underdog before. You went to Brazil. You kicked ass. You kicked ass when people, had you counted out. You took out a former champ. You're around my height. Am I psyching you up?
Yeah, man.
Good. I'm psyching myself up, good. Man. I'm about to jump on Chris the producer and hit him with his shitty thermos. Sorry.
It really is.
Brian, listen, man. Hey, best of luck. Hey, work a lot with Merab. That's not going to go bad for you if you keep doing that.
Yeah, no, he was over at Long Island MMA a couple of times for the pro practice leading up to his fight, so I got work with him then, too. And, he's a really good guy to work with. I love working with Merab, so.
All right, buddy. Well, it's good talking to you, Brian, and good luck, man. I'm going to try to be at that card because the card from top to bottom is incredible.
It's going to be phenomenal.
I hope to see you guys there, and maybe me and Sarah could share a star of death after.
Yes, dude. I'm down with that, buddy.
Good luck, bud. Nice talking to you.
Take care, Brian. All right.
Have a good one.
I got to get on that Joey Diaz show.
Yeah, it's a cool show, and Joey's great. There.
You know what I mean? I think I could have a good time. What's up, Chris, the producer? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'll get my phone back.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale
is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details. All right, now can we ask you a question?
Yeah, Jimmy,
Have you guys talked about the fact that Jones Gustafson too, or that was that announced after?
No, that happened like 2 hours after we wrapped up.
Okay. Can we talk about
now
it?
Now, let me ask you. It's official. Didn't I speculate that that was going to happen and they were going to either fight for an interim belt or the belt and Cormier was going to stay at heavyweight? And Dana told me I was wrong. Maybe he was telling me I was wrong about the heavyweight because I said that Cormier was fighting Brock. I had no idea that Derek Lewis was coming.
No,
I think they just kind of threw that together. I'm shocked that Cormier is taking that fight. Shocked.
Yeah, that's. I agree with you on that.
That's like
I
a was Frankie Edgar move almost.
I was saying when that got announced, like obviously Cormier is the favorite going into that. He'll probably win that fight. But that Derek Lewis is a dangerous guy. Everybody knows he's going to throw that right hand, and he lands it on everyone.
Now Cormier, the difference is Cormier will probably try to put him on the ground immediately and have a huge advantage on the ground.
Right.
And Cormier can take a punch, and Cormier can fight standing up.
Sure.
But I don't know why you are taking the risk where Jones is coming back and Brock is there and you're taking, I guess, to fight in the garden.
Well, that and also to make that cheddar. They probably said, hey, listen, do you want to fight? He's probably going, listen, no, I actually want to wait. We're going to offer you this much and you're going to fight. Well, that's pretty much how it probably went.
But Jones is a bigger money fight and so is Brock. Both are much bigger money fights, and Jones is coming back to fight. When's Jones fighting? New Year's Eve.
That's the, December 29th, I think.
So he's fighting like, a month and a half later.
Yeah, but you know what, though? As the champion, I mean, Cormier is probably at the highest height of popularity, his own popularity.
That's true.
Like, this is and Derek Lewis, that's an exciting...
It is.
It's a good card from top to bottom.
I would rather see this fight. I'm just surprised he took
Sure.
It.
Oh, yeah.
I got something to say.
What?
It's about John Jones and Gustafson. And Gustafson.
Yeah.
I think that John Jones has his hands full.
He does. He absolutely does.
Think about when he came back after a layoff and he went like 20, I don't know. If it
was fought 20, OSP, many, yeah.
Yeah, with OSP, he went the distance.
Yep.
Gustafson.
Think I mean, fucked up. Alexander Gustafson. Gustafson.
Yeah, Alexander, I like to call him.
AG.
AG. You know, his fight with Glover Teixeira. Leave me alone with Glover. Was an amazing thing to watch. And I know Glover's a different fighter, you know, than Jones. But he's just been looking better and better. He hasn't fought in a hot minute. When's the last time
since that fight, which he put on a clinic against Glover. Let's see exactly.
I mean, that's a tough fight, man. And they had that tough fight when Jones was being active and kicking ass. And so, I mean, man.
Well, Gustafson's given Jones and Cormier, who are, you know, two of the best ever, one and two in the light heavyweight division, basically, other than Gustafson. He's given them both the hardest fights of their career, which they've said. That fight was May 2017, so it's over a year.
Man. Well, the hardest fight of Cormier's career couldn't have been Gustafson. It's got to be the Jones who beat him twice.
Well, I mean, arguably, I mean, obviously he got knocked out, but the Gustafson fight was a grueling fight. You know, that arguably Gustafson could have won that fight and the one against Jones.
Yeah, so. The Jones one was an incredible fight.
Yeah.
So they're fighting for the light heavyweight title. I thought Dana told me I was wrong about that. But that maybe he meant the heavyweight.
Yeah, and at that point, the Derek Lewis thing didn't happen yet. So it's like, you know, stuff kind of falls into place.
Tell me what's going on with this drama with Daniel Cormier and former champ Stipe.
A little back and forth on Twitter. Nothing crazy.
I want to hear about it.
Stipe is pissed off, of course, because he's not getting the shot. And I don't blame Stipe for being pissed off. You know, didn't he set the record for defenses with four? And yeah, he wants a rematch, but again, he got knocked out in the first. It's going to be a little harder to sell that than an exciting Derek Lewis fight.
Right. Well, yeah, and Stipe was saying that he offered to fight on this card, and I guess, you know, who knows what the reality situation is.
What he accomplished at that heavyweight alone, though, I know he got caught in that first round, but before he got caught, they were going.
Yeah.
You know? I can't blame him for being pissed. What's going on? What the fuck did they say?
So Stipe had, it was like a longer video, but then the comment under the video that Stipe posted said, 9 times out of 10, I beat DC. Everybody knows it. DC knows it. No heavyweight has ever accomplished what I have. #heavyweight goat. DC responded. He said, damn, seems like I've knocked my guy Stipe Miocic silly. Come on, my guy. Don't be thirsty. We're still good. You got next if Brock doesn't make it. And then Stipe said, you beat me that night. I respect that. But it would never happen again. I carried the torch in this division for a long time. I've been staying up all night with my newborn daughter. And I still offered to fight you November 3rd with zero camp weeks ago. So,
well, that'd be a bad move by Stipe.
100%, yeah.
Fighting Cormier with no camp.
Well, I was saying to Matt last week that, I don't know if it played into it a little bit, but Rockhold is fighting November 3rd, obviously, against Weidman. Huge mm-hmm. fight. DC, you got to assume, is training with him during that. So DC is already working a bit with Rockhold, so he's already started preparing. I wonder if that was a bit of a factor in him, you know, taking this fight on short notice. You know,
he's assuming.
I'm assuming.
He's assuming. You don't assume. You know, hey, listen, you know what I'm assuming, guys?
What's that?
I don't want to be an asshole. Well, can I say it, Jimmy?
Go ahead.
I'm assuming Jimmy's off his diet.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, how dare you?
He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
I see goldfish. I see pretzels.
Well, I here's the thing.
I see goldfish. I see pretzels. I see snacks, snacks, snacks.
I have a couple of snacks from outside because this stupid facility, we moved.
Explain
so
yourself.
I do the gym,
yeah.
And I was after the gym hungry, and okay. I usually get a piece of salmon or something,
100%.
But there was no time to do it today, so I came here just to eat something. I had these two little snacks. They're not big
it's
snacks.
It's not a competition.
No.
It's not a, ooh, I'm so being so good, and you're being so bad. What am I holding up? What is this around? What does this look like?
It's a nude picture of a man.
What is it? There's nothing wrong with that.
It says, hi, Saturday night. Yeah.
What am I holding
it's
up?
A Crave bar,
not,
looks like?
Well, you don't got I'm not. They're not sponsoring me, well, but it's beef jerky.
Yeah, all right.
The fuck? And? You don't have to, just, is it a probiotic
semen.
Drink?
You got a, yeah. Yep.
What I'm trying to say is, I'm eating healthy. I'm being an asshole is what I'm being. And it's okay. It's okay to be an asshole sometimes to people sure. you love.
I love yeah, Jimmy. But Jimmy, you're not wrong, you. And I can tell I feel fat.
Jimmy, I'm doing it because I'm guilting you, Jimmy, because you know what? Normally, I'm worried about you. This is what I'm worried about. Not really well, you're worried because you're all right. But you're starting your other radio gig.
An hour earlier.
So when I used to work all-night security, Jimmy, way back before, you know, becoming former, you know, sure. champion and Hall of Famer, I worked all-night security. I told you this before, midnight to 8 yes. in the morning. And when I'm tired, really, I eat bad. I'm just like, oh, I'm tired. I'm going to eat a corn muffin at the truck that gets here, and I'm going to drive home with that. So what I'm worried about, my friend Jimmy, is that now you're a little tired.
You I'm always
now
tired.
You're eating. Look at that. I never – and this is not – listen, that's not bad. That's no. not that big.
It's a little teeny bag of goldfish and a little teeny bag of pretzels.
A teeny, okay. weeny – listen.
Small fun-size bags.
It, you know, there's nothing fun about getting off your diet, Jimmy.
I don't mind it because I ate like a pig for a week, but I'm just hungry. I didn't have any food after I worked out. You got to eat something after the gym.
Yeah, of course. Jimmy, hey, by the way, we added some sound effects. The gym is not.
Oh, shit, to. Jimmy. I want to hear, Jimmy.
One that you're very familiar with.
I want to hear how your weekend went this weekend. I want to hear. I can't wait for it. I want you to tell me.
It was okay.
All right, it's a little anticlimactic. All right, another one is anyway, Jimmy, I flew here from Long Island, and boy, is my arms. All right, that's
a terrible cricket sound effect.
Hey, it was.
Stinks.
It was like a stuttering cricket.
How fast is? Let me hear that again. That sucks. Oh, horrible.
We got to change the crickets.
All right, we'll change
oh
the
my
crickets.
God, it's
I know.
Awful.
You thought you liked it, and all of a sudden.
Ah, the car crash.
But I'm on the fence with that one, Jimmy.
Why? It's the Opie and Anthony show.
Yeah,
car
I feel like it's kind of
an
homage.
Sure, yeah.
Jimmy, come about? Were you on the show when they started doing that?
Don't remember. Probably.
Okay.
I probably
because then I feel like it's okay. Because
yeah.
it's part
I believe
of, it's
like,
it's
no,
almost
you
like
must
a,
have been. Yeah.
It's well, I don't know if it was before me at NEW. I don't know.
Well, what I don't want is to be biting off any other show here.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Like, what are we? Nothing, Jimmy.
It's a car crash.
It's a car. Fine. It's a car crash. Well, that's it, right? Is that it with the new ones?
Yeah, we just added
no,
three
there's another
new ones.
One.
But... that right? was just one of your original ones.
Oh, okay.
I think you had that one already, Jimmy. Yeah. You know?
Matt, by the way, we were talking a little bit before the show. You actually gave him a call, Ryan LaFleur.
I did. He left a message for me. I just saw that now.
He announced he's retiring from MMA.
After that loss.
Yeah, he texted. I'm like, yo, I saw that on here. And I'm like, you know. Why don't we just get him in here and talk about it? So he left me a message, and I will listen to it afterwards. I'm sure he's saying, Matt, I want to come in and hang out. because I like Ryan LaFleur.
Sure, I do too, very much.
I'm almost, I feel like, listen, he got caught bad in that last fight, like a bat to the head, you know? And he got stopped in his last, no, he won his last one before this, and then he lost the one prior to that. And both of those were stoppages, which is kind of scary.
The no, the one before
Oliveira, he lost. Fight,
yeah, but it was a decision win over.
He, yeah, then it was a decision. He won.
Yeah.
And then he lost his last one. Just the other day to Tony
correct
Ricci.
To Tony Martin, right.
Tony Martin,
yeah,
Tony Ricci's the
yeah, he had the decision.
He's the guy who does the strength and conditioning at Longo's. The fuck am I talking about? But anyway, I always felt like, I mean, the guy only before that he went five rounds with Damian Maia and he lost, and then he had a couple of tough fights, you know. But man, I always thought he was like one of, like a dark horse in the division. So, and he had a great, listen, he had a really good career, yep. But he has a school on Long Island. I'd like to have him in here to have a proper goodbye. You know,
yeah, I like Ryan a lot.
He's got a good sense of humor. He's a funny guy.
And by the way, the co-main at the Garden, another amazing fight, is Cyborg Amanda Nunes.
Oh, no, that's not at the Garden. That's
what?
That's 232 December 3rd.
Oh, sorry, Jones. Oh,
I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, no, I meant Jones. You're right. It says right in front of me, 232. That's an amazing co-main.
What is that? Where is that?
That's for Jones Gustafson, which is Vegas. I'm thinking they're fighting the Garden. And that's December 29th. That's the New Year's Eve card, or the New Year's Eve night before then. What's the co-main in the Garden?
The official bout order hasn't been set, so I'm not sure, actually.
Okay.
But that was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be
Fights?
Nate Diaz and
Poirier, but that's
before he has that. He has a hip injury.
Yeah, and he had to go out to L.A. to see a specialist, and then Diaz, of course, wanted to be pulled. I guess he wants to fight Khabib. I know.
I mean, that's frustrating because that doesn't make sense for Nate to jump in and fight Khabib.
It's just not going to happen.
No.
So give us, what is going on with this?
Oh, you know what? The co-main is, it's stupid. It's probably Rockhold and
it could be Rockhold.
Wyman.
I've been
What's up with Paulie Malignaggi?
Paulie Malignaggi.
What is that? What am I seeing there?
That was obviously from after 229. He put out he was giving an interview or he tweeted that like Connor's, here, well, I might as well read it. He said, when you're a pussy, it's always going to come out when you're in combat sports. You can only hide that fact for so long because you're going to get pressed to the point where you have to show some balls. This guy, I've been saying it for a while, is going to go down as the most overrated guy in mixed martial arts history. He continually signed checks that his ass couldn't cash. He had an overhyped record on the come up. This is the most overhyped guy in combat sports history. Forget mixed martial arts, which I think is nonsense. But
wow.
What do you think about that?
I think he's, listen, I mean, I'm not going to say overrated because I like his skill set. I just think when you go versus Khabib, I think he's outgunned. That's why, like, he didn't do anything in that fight to show me that he deserves a rematch. I think he should go out.
I think he lasted on the ground a little more than I thought he would.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he didn't do some good stuff. I'm on the record saying that I'm impressed with his ground defense. Yeah. I think he did great that first round, but, excuse me, Khabib. He's just getting better as it goes along.
Yeah.
Not that Conor's always shown a problem with his endurance, but he's shown some signs of some fights where he got fatigued and with Diaz and also with Floyd, and it's a different scenario with just the boxing. But, you know, there were signs of some problems with his endurance. So, I mean, that's the worst guy to fight, Khabib.
Yeah.
But a lot of other guys in the division, I think he matches up phenomenal with because he's got such good hands. And again, he's not that. I mean, look what he did to Eddie Alvarez. Look what he did to Dustin Poirier. So, overrated? No. But, yeah. I mean, is he going to beat Khabib? I very much doubt it. I mean,
yeah, and I don't. But that's the thing, though. I mean, he obviously, Paulie has a history with Conor. He doesn't like them after the sparring and all that stuff. But I don't think anybody was saying that Conor was definitely going to go in there and beat Khabib. No. You know, so it's
a lot
to
of
say
people
over,
were saying that.
I picked Conor, but
I mean,
I
we picked him, but we
lost.
Weren't going to be surprised if what happened. You know, I don't think anybody thought that.
By the way, a fight that I'm, besides a Branch and Jacare, which I'm really, it's going to be a good fight.
Oh, yeah.
Derek Brunson against Israel Adesanya, I am really looking forward to.
Yeah, who we're probably going to talk to, either both of them, but definitely Israel Adesanya, I think, before that fight.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, he's 14-0, and Brunson is a very tough guy. So that's an interesting fight. That's not who I would have picked for him. I'm glad he's taking that fight.
I want to talk about that. I really enjoyed that quartet thing. Quartet thing with the grappling that Uriah called in. That was fun.
Who won?
They had a draw, him and Sakuraba. But I watched it in different times. Like I watched Eddie Bravo's team versus the Polaris team, and that was fun. I saw Gregor Gracie gets a nice fucking Kimura. He took out like two guys in a row. And then if you keep staying in this tournament until like, so if you beat one guy, then you got to go with it. You stay in and a fresh guy comes in from the team. So you go versus that guy. So then you beat that guy, you got another fresh guy. So it's a pretty cool format, man. I enjoy that. All right, let's get back to Derek Brunson. I didn't want to forget that though, because not only did I enjoy watching that, I picked up some techniques. I watched how Gordon Ryan was taking a certain arm lock, which was very nice. Gordon Ryan destroyed that thing, by the way. He's one of John Danaher's students. And also, who else? Gordon Ryan, Craig Jones. Man, such really, really, really good jiu-jitsu in that. And normally, some of the grappling stuff, I could just, even though I love jiu-jitsu, the tournaments, I could just be like, get bored with.
Yeah. You know?
But all right. Derek Brunson. Let's talk about it.
I think it's going to be a great fight.
I mean, Derek just came off that fight with Jacare, no?
Yeah, I think that was probably the last one. Let me see.
He is. And tell me about Israel's last fight.
We were there. It was.
And he's undefeated, huh?
Oh, my God. Don't. Brad Tavares. He beat Brad Tavares. I think he beat him by decision, right? It was a decision.
Yeah, and
he beat him very decisively, though.
Yeah, methodical. That's the thing that's interesting about this fight, because Brunson is a guy that he just comes out
towards that big left. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he comes out real hard early, and it'll be interesting to see what Israel does with that.
But did Israel show some? How's his ground game? I mean, did we see some?
I mean, I don't remember if he got taken down against Tavares, but I know he has pretty good grappling defense. He doesn't get taken down as easily as you think, and It'll be tested probably in this fight, but
sure.
No, he showed some pretty good defense as well.
This looks like this is a very interesting fight.
Yeah, the Jacare fight.
We're not
Brunson's
making picks excellent. Yet.
No, it's just an interesting one to talk about.
Give me something else. I like it.
Darren Till is moving up to middleweight.
Yeah.
Thoughts
on that? Really?
Yeah. Is he saying the weight cut is what hurt him in that fight?
Well, he's not here. Well, so he said, I'm a big dude for welterweight, to be honest, so that's probably going to be my last fight at that weight versus Woodley at 228. Welterweight isn't fully gone for me, but I'm happy to be going up to middleweight now, and I'll be strong at that weight, not having to cut as much weight. I'll have a few fights at middleweight, and you never know down the line if Woodley is still the champ. I can have another go for him, but that's a rematch I want. The future's bright.
How tall is he?
I don't know. Let's see. He wasn't saying that that's why he lost, but obviously the weight cut is a
problem. I don't think he's even taller than Woodley. If he is, it's by an inch.
No, he's taller.
Not much. No.
Yeah. Really?
Woodley has longer arms, I'm pretty sure. Much taller is he?
Yeah, Till 6 foot, and let's see what Woodley is.
Well, you know what's interesting, man? Maybe it's
Woodley's 5'9", but the reach isn't that
right,
different.
Right, the reach and the leg reach.
But you know what's interesting is that a lot of guys, man, Robert Whittaker, Kelvin Gastelum. I mean, look at these guys when they fought up a weight class or fought more, I guess, at their more than natural weight. They're fucking doing great.
Yeah.
This might be one of those cases. I feel like saying that in a Seinfeld. This might be one of those cases.
Yeah.
Who are these people cutting weight? Worst Seinfeld ever. Fucking, I'm giving this to
that was me. Good.
Nah, that was bad. What is the matter with the soundboard? Why is the soundboard all shitty?
Because it's the internet or whatever's going on here. It's through Bluetooth, so if there's something going on, who knows? I don't know. There you go. Maybe it was being blocked. I moved it. How's that?
Now try the crickets again.
Not bad.
Still stinks. They're too fast.
Too fast?
Yeah.
What are they, the crickets on cocaine over there?
Yeah, they should just be...
Man, rap god, I'm a rap devil, man. Let's talk about it. What else we got? Can I tell you?
Sure.
That I watched. Do we got time? We got time.
Whatever time you want. Sure.
Do it a movie minute. Jimmy wants to do a movie minute. Jimmy, you want to do that to break up?
Sure.
Because we got stuff to talk about.
Absolutely.
And we'll talk about it. Hit it. Oh my god. Movie minute. Hi everybody. We're taking it back, Jimmy. Jimmy, we're taking it back. How far back? Way back, Jimmy. We're taking it way back.
Okay.
Way back to, when did Hot Tub Time Machine come out? Do you know?
1980-something.
No.
Did it really?
No, first of all, no.
I've never seen it.
Fucking 80s. What do you think? It's,
I'm just messing. It's 2010.
What a fun. You never seen it?
No.
Such a fun movie. If you watch my, if anybody follows my Instagram, Matt Sarah BJJ, I put a clip of it. on there. It was very funny. That was a funny clip, wasn't it? That's when they went back in time and they were going down like the Double Diamond at the ski resort they used to go to as kids. And they're really like younger, even though they look older. That's why they don't really, they took a wipe out and they feel, that's, they feel great. That's her. They're like, yeah, I feel fantastic. What's his name? Who's the big black guy? He reminds me of Patrice O'Neal, your friend.
Jeff Bridges. Guy who's a bad guesser.
It's Craig Robinson.
I love Craig Robinson. He's like, I feel crazy. And who's the other guy, the bald guy in it?
Jimmy
Stop.
What?
Anyway.
It's Rob Corddry, I think. So you're thinking
about it. Anyway, they feel great. They yell stuff. Look at my Instagram. You can see the clip. But I watched this the other day, and I'll tell you right now, as far as comedies go, top notch. I watched. No, that's the wrong applause. That's Longo's. That's not top notch. It deserves a Wyman applause. Hot Tub Time Machine. It's got laughs. I mean, it's one of those. It's almost so perfect that I could watch it almost every time it comes on, Jimmy.
I can't believe I've never seen it.
It's fun. It's just a fun. You know, it's got a little like still a little politically incorrect, but it's. It's
isn't it weird when you watch comedies from 10 years ago and you're like, oh, they wouldn't say that now in a couple
100%, and they wouldn't do that, you know. But you know, well, let me sum it up really quick. It's about a guy. I don't want to give it away. What do you want me to say about it?
Whatever, won't give it away.
It's about friends. Like they got a friend that supposedly tried to kill himself. I know it's a comedy. But you can't really prove they tried to kill himself. Sure. But anyway, they want to get together. They want to cheer him up. So they bring him to a ski resort that they used to go to when they were youngsters. And it was the best times of their lives. And they wanted to capture it. And then they bring their John Cusack, who's in it. I love John Cusack. He's good in some things. Say anything. He holds up the stereo on him. But he brings his nephew along who's doing nothing but playing video games and this and that. And I forgot that kid's name. He's a good actor too. But anyway, they go up there. The place turns to shit. They get into this hot tub. And they spill this like Russian fucking Red Bull that they had, and it fucked it up. And anyway, it became a time machine. Hence, Hot Tub Time Machine. Okay, listen, I'm not getting into all the details, but Chevy Chase is like their little guide in all this. Because he goes to work on the you know Chevy Chase over here?
Yeah, sure.
You ever heard the great Chevy Chase?
I sure have. He's apparently a really pleasant guy to be around.
Yeah.
I heard he's not. Is that
I
true?
No, no. I know you're right.
I know you're being silly with that, but yeah. Did you really hear he's not a great guy to be around?
Yeah.
That's a shame. Because he's funny and shit. Is he funny. Foul play?
I did.
That's another movie minute.
It just seems like old times.
Sure does, Jimmy.
Hot Tub Time Machine's popularity is up 423 points this week, according to IMDb. I got to think that's the Matt Sarah button.
What did you just say?
It's the popularity is up like over 400 points this week.
Jimmy.
Whoa.
People like what I like.
You have a lot of power.
Thank you, Jimmy. They have to kind of like relive like their, like they have to do everything exactly how it went down so they don't like do like one of those butterfly effects, you know, that right. type of shit. Fun. Wait for it, Jimmy. Wait for it. 1, 2, 3. Fun.
Okay.
I'll give it, listen, watch Hot Tub Time Machine. I know there's the sequel. And it looked like shit, but guess what's funny about that is on my Instagram, I put that little clip of there, Bruce Buffer, who's a friend of mine, you know, Bruce Buffer.
Yeah, I saw him.
He chimes in, he's like, oh, I love the movie too, and make sure you check out the sequel for a surprise. I heard he's in the sequel, but no offense, I heard the sequel shit.
So, I haven't seen it.
So I'm like,
is it the same guys?
Oh, Bruce, that's great. But I think Bruce plays himself in the sequel.
Is it the same guys?
It's the same guys, except for John Cusack, because he's probably like, look, man. I'm going from Say Anything, which was great. Not oh, wait, listen, he was also in a lot of other movies.
How old is this movie? 10 years?
Yeah. No, it's 2010.
Okay,
so. Yeah, 8 years. Yeah, 9 years. Fucking close to it. But I'll tell you, what a fun fucking movie. I can't say anything about the second one. I watched a little bit of it, and I can't fucking.
You didn't care for it.
Nah, I mean,
what was wrong with it?
It's like the other Hangovers. I can't get into that. I mean, they were okay, but
sure,
they almost ruined it. You know, it's not like Die Hard 2. That was excellent. Was it's not it? Like Predator 2.
Caddyshack 2, better than the original.
What?
Better than the original.
Oh, with Jackie Mason? That was the fucking...
Better than the original.
Oh, my God. So bad, Jimmy. So bad. But, you know, nothing like the original. So I say everybody, hey, you'll do a lot worse than getting Hot Tub Time Machine from the Red Box. I don't know what they get it on. But I don't know where you're going to see it. I watched it. I caught it on cable the other day. And I can watch that thing every time it comes on. One, it's in my top 10 comedies. Top 5, maybe. That's all I got to say about Hot Tub Time Machine. Zero piss breaks. Go see it. What did I go see with my wife the other day while we were talking about movies?
I saw a movie.
Keep it kind of clean, Jimmy. What are you going to say?
The Nun.
Did you see it?
I went and saw The Nun.
That's a scary movie.
Yeah. It was about the, you know, the people that did The Conjuring and whatever the other one was.
I don't like scary movies.
This was...
Was it scary enough?
Yeah, it was. There's a painting in it of a creepy nun. Very creepy nun.
That's Jimmy.
It's a horrifying moment, is this painting in this movie.
Yeah?
And they made a movie about the nun in the painting, where, you know, it's about there's a nun who kills herself at this haunted convent in the woods. It takes place like 50 years ago. And these, you know, this guy, this priest and this new nun have to go up there and figure out what's going on.
Entertaining?
You know, there's a character. Stop thinking you're putting funny characters in fucking movies where they're not needed.
Oh.
There was a character named Frenchie in this stupid movie.
Frenchie? Oh, I saw the same one from Grease? It was like
not
a sequel?
No, this was not the same Frenchie. I would have preferred her.
I liked her as a kid.
This was a French
guy. I liked her as a kid, and Olivia Newton-John.
I liked Stockard Channing. I had no idea she was 58 when she did that movie about being in high school.
Riz?
Riz, yeah.
Oh, she was a whore.
Hickey from Kaneki.
She was a whore.
She so this guy Frenchie plays like the sidekick.
Oh fuck! I hope he gets it from the nun.
I hate fucking like witty line.
Really?
Sidekicks. They ruin every movie. Their dialogue is never funny.
Witty line sidekicks.
It took me out of the fucking movie every time. He was a good actor, but I didn't need the shitty dialogue, the snippy dialogue.
Well, yes, Jimmy, for sure. I don't know about sidekicks with shitty lines, but I'm not into fucking horror movies, so I'm gonna have none of it. Jimmy?
Oh, was that a pun? I didn't even realize
that. You didn't realize that before?
Don't press.
What'd you think it was?
I don't know.
If you had to say one thing,
I can't even put up the energy to touch a button.
Jimmy! I said, for the people at home, let me do the joke again. Because you said about sidekicks, even though what kind of calls, I don't think I'm a sidekick. But Jimmy,
you said
about sidekicks having... About having sidekicks having like shitty lines, and you're talking about the nun, the horror movie? I said I don't like horror movies. We gotta do it again. I said I don't like horror movies, so I said I have none of it.
Well, yeah, you don't like horror movies. Why would you?
I'll have none of it,
right,
Jimmy? When I said none of it, I mean none, like N-U-N.
Oh, that was the movie I saw. It was good. I just won't acknowledge it.
Jimmy, can I open up for you at the cellar with that joke?
Yep.
I can? How do you think it's going to go for me?
Well, I think they would enjoy it.
Yeah, they're not going to enjoy the fucking Kimura that comes on after they're fucking booing me.
They wouldn't.
How about that shit,
Jimmy? It was a moderately scary film. Not
I turned to zero to
100. Amazing. Not amazing.
No?
Yeah.
No. I'm not going to see it.
Stop with the snippy fucking dialogue in a horror movie.
What's like an example of something that
I can't think of
it. I thought I just did one.
Like, what was a snippy line?
Like, I just don't like that his name is Frenchie.
Like, he shows up with a gun at one point during a really scary moment and says something like, look like you needed the help. Like one of those type of douchey lines. Yeah. It's like, shut the... You're talking about a nun hung herself. This is a gate to hell.
Yeah.
And he's got snappy lines. Like, this isn't Lethal Weapon, fucko.
It wasn't. It
really bugged me.
Wishes it was Lethal
Weapon. I hated that part of it.
Did you hate that part of it?
Movie itself was okay.
It was all right?
Yeah.
I went to the movies with my wife the other day, Jimmy. Oh! What? I saw Venom. How the fuck did I forget that?
Oh, my God. Very cool.
Jimmy, I'm so happy.
I refused to see that. I heard it was terrible.
Blasphemy, Jimmy.
Okay.
Fuck you, Jimmy. Oh, my. Jimmy.
Why are you cursing at me?
I'm sorry, Jimmy. Did I say that loud?
Yeah, I just heard it was terrible.
He's never been madder at you.
Yeah, you're not the executive producer.
Jimmy, I'm sorry. I heard, Jimmy. Now, listen. You know me and my movies. Jimmy, I have to talk about this really quick. We're extending the movie minute. We'll get right back to the MMA love and action in a second. But really quick about Venom. I enjoyed it. I fucking enjoyed it, man. What the fuck is the matter with these critics? I'll tell you. I mean, some stuff with the plot. Can I say one part, though? It's like, you know, Tom Hardy's fucking great.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy was great. And he plays almost like one of those journalists that, you know, like, not a TMZ type, but like kind of like that. Like, you know what I mean? One of those journalists. I can't think of any other word. So he's like the male Lois Lane type thing. So he's, you know, whatever, this corporation and yada, yada. They took some stuff from space and they're doing experiments and na, na, na. Anyway, The symbolite, something like that. I might have fucked it up.
A symbiote.
Thank you. Did you see it?
No, but I read about it.
He's just like, no, but I'm just not a fucking moron.
No, it's that's like his thing. He's the symbiote.
Okay.
It's the Venoms. Yeah. So anyway, he needs a host, and it has to connect to the right host, or else it fucking ends up just making killing people right off the bat. So anyway, he gets hooked up with Venom. So long story short, the only thing I don't like what threw me off is that at the beginning, Venom's just like, you know, taking control of him and doing all sorts of shit, saying, listen, I'll do whatever we're going to do whatever we want to do, and you're doing what I want to do, and you might survive this thing. And then at some point, and then there's another bad symbiote. What is it?
Symbiote. Yep.
And he went into another guy who's a bad guy, and that guy's really killing everything. And all of a sudden, he goes, look, he goes to Tom Hardy, which is Eddie Brock, right? And he goes, hey, this is what Venom says to him. Hey, look, you know, I changed my mind. I want to, you know, take over this planet and just eat everybody, and this and that, because he likes to eat people.
Sure.
And he goes, I'm, you know why? He goes, to tell you the truth, Eddie, back at my planet, I'm kind of like a loser like you. He goes, so I want to kind of stay here, you know, and be a winner type of thing. What the fuck? So in other words, he's somebody here because he's this big fucking Venom, and, you know, so that's it. So he changed his mind. He's about to stay there because he's a loser on his own planet. So then he went and he teamed up with
Bullied supervillain,
yeah,
who got bullied on his home planet.
But it was done douchey. But it was done in a. There were a lot of good moments in it. It was fun.
See it in 3D?
No, I saw it at IMAX though. IMAX, me and the missus. We saw that thing in IMAX.
IMAX. Was it available in 3D or no?
Might have been.
Maybe they didn't make it that way.
I like it in IMAX sometimes. Sometimes you want to go on a big.
I love
big
IMAX.
Screen.
I would watch any. I'd watch a courtroom drama on IMAX.
I wouldn't
anything.
You know, let's get back to MMA. So listen, Venom, go see it. Hot Tub Time Machine, go get it wherever you can get it.
Sounds like Venom had a couple of pee breaks, though.
Let me see about pee breaks.
Take one in the
maybe mouth. Take a pee break. Yeah. But I did enjoy it. I heard it was shit, and from critics, and they got to relax with that. Yeah, you know, I watch those nerdy shows. I watch like their nerdy things on the internet with the internet. I watch the show called Collider, and it's all like, it's like a podcast type thing, and they're all talking about like geek, all this geeky shit that I'm into. So one of the, I forgot the fucking guy's name, but one of the main guys, I was watching a little thing, and he was talking, and he brought up my name about.
Really?
He was talking about the Khabib thing. I don't, what the fuck was he talking about? He brought up how he made money. He was like, yeah, there was a scrappy kid from Long Island. He was going versus GSP. Like, holy fuck.
Who said this?
I forgot his name. It really ruins the whole story that I forgot his name. But I do watch that show a lot.
What show is it?
Collider.
Collider.
Collider. Show me the pictures of the guys. I know, and I'll know the guy's name right away because he mentioned me. And I'm gonna hit him up on Instagram or something. I'm gonna tell him, hey, dude, I'm a geek. If you guys do this show, I know they're from LA, but if you do this show here in the Strong Island. Oh, not a Strong Island. Where am I? If you do this in New York, I will fucking jump on the show and I'll be a guest. Because sometimes they have guests. I know Michael Rappaport did. That's him. Who's that guy? Right. What's here? His name? Click on him.
Okay.
You don't got to play it, Donald. We're going to get shut off.
No, there's no sound.
What's his name? Because I like him. And poor John Schnepp, who died. A guy who died who did like the behind the scenes on the Superman like movie that never
Christian
got made.
Harloff, is that his name?
Christian.
Or Mark Ellis?
Well, who's the guy? Not Mark Ellis, I don't think. Is it? Who's that guy with the hat on? I'll tell you right now.
I don't know. Let's see.
And he'll introduce himself. Can't you skip the goddamn.
No, we can't. We can't play it. You just
power behind the. Weren't you on Power? You were a priest on that thing, Jimmy.
I was, yeah.
Yeah, well, that ship has sailed, though. Didn't that kill you?
They did.
To the right. His what's that guy's name?
I don't know. Let's see if his. Oh, this is live right now, so we're not even gonna say. I don't know.
All right, can't we get to the bottom of this anyway? I like when nerds like me because I'm a nerd or a geek because I'm not book smart.
Here's the names. You ready? It's Christian. Roxy is the girl, so I said it's not Riley.
Not
Riley Cobster.
Riley's a girl too. I
Cody.
Believe. I don't know.
Brian. All right.
I know. I just like the show because I like they know what they talk about, like Star Wars. They talk about all the geeky stuff that I talk about here with Jimmy, except
they all like it.
They all like it, and Jimmy, right. it's like fucking somebody just like pinching Jimmy's nipples. Which
I don't mind it. I'm not a big fan of it. Like I like some Star Wars.
I know Jimmy,
but I think overall George Lucas stinks. I think the fucking Ewoks stunk, and he just if he had his way, you know George
I don't
Lucas.
Like
that
George Lucas.
That Christmas special, the Star Wars Christmas special, that to me is George Lucas. Did you ever see it?
Yeah.
That to me. is his.
Because he'd always be like, oh, I did it for the kids, and isn't that?
It's horrible.
You know?
Right. Yeah, but like Kubrick wouldn't have done that.
I listen. I wish when Kubrick I had Phoenix had in here last time, we were talking about the that Last Han Solo one, and that's a fun movie. I still think, I stand by that being a fun movie.
Didn't you do know? Well, though. It actually got
weird.
Them
it's, weird. It's a little weird when you have the fucking female robot going, what do you want? She's like, equal rights. And it gets a little nutty with that shit. It's like, oh, fuck yourself. Calm down.
Was it a joke?
No, it's stupid. I don't like when they get too much like that. It's like, don't stuff stuff down. Can't the
supposed to be 10,000 years
really,
in the future.
You're freeing all the droids? The droids? You're freeing the droids? Go fuck yourself, please. But other than that, and she had a crush on Lando. And it was kind of, it made her kind of like walking around. It's like, oh, it's a regular robot. She's kind of a big butt.
Oh.
Anyway, I enjoyed the movie. I can look past some shit, Jimmy.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to Derek Brunson versus Israel.
Well, I was just going to say, actually, I mean, just something that we could wrap up with.
Yeah, we can wrap up.
We did predictions at the end of last year for who would be the champions at the end of this year. So obviously we'll do that again, you know, in a couple of months. But I figure maybe we revisit them and kind of see where we are.
All right, let's see how we're doing.
We had some time. Yeah. So for the flyweight division, we all had Mighty Mouse to be the champion at the end of this year, which obviously that's not going to happen
because
Henry Cejudo is probably going to hold the belt. Bantamweight division, Jim, you had Jimmy Rivera to be the champion at the end of this year.
Okay.
Matt, you had Dominic Cruz, but unfortunately Cruz hasn't had a fight this whole time.
I could pick him.
And I had TJ Dillashaw. So it seems like that might end up being the case, unless they put together a Cejudo or whatever fight. Featherweight. Jim and
Cejudo, Jamaica.
For featherweight, me and Jim both had Brian Ortega. Matt, you had Frankie Edgar.
Frankie Edgar.
So what about?
I love Frankie Edgar.
Is there any word on Holly Ortega when that is? Right? When is it?
Yeah, that's December 8th.
Okay. All right. So we don't know that. I could still be right.
Correct. Yes, Ortega still has a chance. Frankie obviously gave up his shot at the title. So Matt, you could have been in it, but it's probably not going to happen there. Lightweight. This probably not a lot's going to change here. Me and Jim both had Tony Ferguson. Matt, you had Khabib, and Khabib looks like he's going to be the champion at the end of the
day. Yay for me.
Welterweight, you guys both had Wonderboy Thompson, which I don't think he's going to...
No.
Probably not going to be up for grabs by the end of the year. And I had Tyron Woodley.
Okay.
Middleweight, we all have Chris Weidman across the board.
Yay.
He's probably not going to get a title shot by the end of
the
year.
No, he's fighting Rockhold.
But he could definitely earn one with a win over Rockhold, you would think. Light heavyweight, Jim, you had Gustafson. Matt, you have DC, and I had DC as well.
Well, let's see what happens. So I have a shot at that one.
Yeah.
And I have a shot at Ortega.
Correct. Okay. Well, and actually, me and Matt are both going to lose that one because DC is going to lose the light heavyweight title when the Jones-Gustafson fight
happens. Yeah.
Heavyweight, Jim, you had Francis Ngannou. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Matt, you had Stipe. Which doesn't seem like Stipe is going to get a shot.
Nope.
And I had Cain Velasquez, who I thought was... It was kind of rumored that he was coming back, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Women's strawweight, Jessica Andrade. There's no word... You had Jessica Andrade, Jim. No word whether she's getting the next shot, but it seems like she's kind of in line. Okay. Probably won't happen before the end of the year, it doesn't seem. And me and Matt both had Rose. And then for flyweight, we all have Valentina Shevchenko, which she is definitely getting a flyweight title shot on December 8th, so we'll see what happens there. Bantamweight, me and Jim both have Amanda Nunes. Matt, you had Kat Zingano.
Yay, Kat!
which she's always, she's always kind of in contention, but it doesn't seem like she's going to get the title shot before the end of the year.
I like Kat a lot.
And then me and Jim both have Cyborg as the featherweight champion, where Matt has Holly Holm. But
I like Holly Holm a lot, too.
I do, too.
Hey, not for not. She can kick ass, but she can also dance.
Well, hold on. Amanda is not going to lose the... she's going... They're fighting at... They're fighting.
Correct. Yeah. So it seems so. Yes.
So Amanda will remain
the bantamweight.
All right. Cool. Yeah. So that one I got.
Yep.
And you got it too, right?
Well, yeah. I had that one as well.
It's all fascinating, but let's just. Are we done with that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Good. Thank God. Listen to me.
What? Why you?
What's that? I don't know. All right. Because I just saw something that I want to say, and then we're gonna end this.
Okay.
Rafael dos Anjos.
Yes.
Fighting fucking Kamaru Usman.
Yeah.
How come you didn't mention that?
What do you mean?
Did you mention that?
Not today.
Not today. Me and Jim talked about it, but you were late that episode, so I think it never came back up, so that's why I left it on there.
Because you were late.
It's okay. It's a train. The train was late.
Jimmy, you work with a child.
Huh?
You work with a child.
That's okay.
I know. How do we deal with this guy? Christopher, get your act together. Anyway, listen, guys, gals.
Well, what do you think about that?
What a great fight!
Man, I think it's a phenomenal fight, and I think it's a tough one for
the main event of the Ultimate Fighter finale.
That's not announced, but I would assume that would be the main event of that. Yeah.
Well, it's got to be.
Yeah.
If
Tavares Israel Adesanya, right. Wasn't that a tough finale fight?
Yes.
Yeah.
If Usman wins, man, he should really be talked about. It depends on how that fight goes, but that could mean a lot for Kamaru when he takes if he ends up taking out.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that could be a similar problem for RDA the same way Colby was, right? I mean, it presents similar problems.
It does. It really does. But this is a 3-round fight.
Yeah.
What was that other?
Well,
fight?
Well, no. If it's the main event, it would be a 5-round fight too.
Is it a main event?
Not officially yet, but it seems like it would be.
What I like about RDA at this weight is that we get to see a lot of his jiu-jitsu. And like he has some slick transitions and escapes and whatnot. So and attacks. I mean, look what he did to Neil Magny. I mean, I'm excited for that fight. I really am. I really, really, really am more excited than to see the Nun. I'm not seeing that.
The Nun was not particularly.
This type of fight too, like between RDA's number 3, Kamaru's number 6. When people talk about, you know, fighters just that there's no rhyme or reason to the rankings and this and that. This is a fight that proves that there really is, though, most of the time. Kamaru Usman's been working his way up. RDA just comes off a tough loss against another tough.
Where was Derek Lewis ranked, though, before this last fight?
Let's see. Let's check out the.
I think him taking off his pants, saying that his balls are hot, really got him this. That and that fucking.
He was ranked 2. Miocic 1. He wins a big fight in the 3rd round. I understand why they're giving him the shot.
I think Lewis was actually because this is updated after the 229 card. So I think he was probably 5 or 6. Probably 5.
Was he that low before?
Well, yeah, because then he just switched with Volkov, who was number 2, I think, at that point. So.
Jimmy, I'm going to end this thing.
I'm going to be performing this weekend in San Antonio. I'm also going to be in Houston, so go to jimnorton.com for tickets. Also, if you want to come see me in Seattle the following week, I will be in Seattle.
Jimmy, don't judge me. I can listen to Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem, but then I can listen to that song as a teenage dirtbag.
I don't know it.
It's such a nice song, Jimmy. And it's just so mellow, and I like it a lot. Everybody, listen, train some jiu-jitsu. It was a great day at Sarah BJJ this morning. I was practicing my Ashigarami to X-guard, to reverse X into an inside heel hook, Jimmy.
Okay.
My wife was on the other side doing some pad work. I saw Pete Drago sell there. It's a great way to start your day, Jimmy. You know?
Well, good.
SarahBJJ.com.
You're
in Manhattan. HenzoGracie.com. Thank you, everybody.
Yes.
We'll be back in a couple days.
We will.
I wish I didn't stutter right there.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye, Jimmy.
Goodbye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.